Ephesians 1, verse 19. The Bible says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." So tonight, we just get to spend time lifting up our Savior. Amen? And I've entitled the message, "Far Above All." So let's pray. Lord, give us Your wisdom. Speak to our hearts as we go to Your precious Word this evening. And Lord, I pray that it would work in our lives and grow us. And so meet with us now. We give You this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I don't know, Isaiah, what's going on. It's flashing. Does that mean the battery's dead? Probably. More dead batteries. Nah, I don't have this kind. I'll just talk loud. It's okay. So this is all about Jesus tonight here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 23. And the Bible talks there in verse 19. It says, "The exceeding greatness of His power." That is our God. God can do anything. And He has the power to do anything. He says, "To usward who believe." The day we got saved, somebody moved in. Amen? The Holy Ghost. And He came to give us not only direction and wisdom, but power. Didn't Jesus tell the disciples prior to Pentecost, He says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And that's exactly what happened, and that's what's been happening ever since. God gave us the power to serve Jesus. But this passage is about Jesus and just being reminded about all that He is and all that He is to us and of course, to the universe. But notice, I want to just point out a couple of things about Christ tonight. I want to talk about the fact that He's been raised, that He's at the right hand of God, that He's above all, that everything's under Him, that He's the head over all things, and that He filleth all. And you'll see that word "all" show up a lot in this passage. Notice in verse 21, "far above all," verse 22, "and hath put all things under His feet." And verse 22, "and He is the head over all things." And then in verse 23, "the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." That's Jesus. He's all. You know, when you look at the hymn books, how many hymns would you think are in there that are not about Jesus? Not very many, because He's all. For us as Christians, He's everything. And so we see, when talking about Jesus tonight, firstly in verse 20, we see that Jesus was raised. As we're lifting Him up tonight, and we think about Christ, it says, verse 20, "which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead." When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, Christianity was set apart from every other religion in the world. Now, all of the other ones can say, well, our founder or our leader was buried here, and this is his tomb or his grave or whatever. You don't say that about Jesus. His tomb is empty. He was raised. He came back from the dead to say He had the power over death. If you go to Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it's dead, brother. Don't worry about it. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, if you would turn over there, God revealed His power through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And again, it's just another way that Jesus is glorified when we reflect upon what happened on that day. Notice Romans chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, "and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." Jesus' resurrection was a declaration of His power. He was saying to the world, "I have the power over death." And because of that, we now can come to Christ and believe that great truth where He said in John 11:26, "He that believeth in Me shall never die, because My Savior conquered death." And so the first thing that we see in glorifying our Savior tonight is that He was raised. And then we see in verse 20 tonight as well, the second thing is that He's on the right hand of the Father. After He came back from the dead, He went to fulfill another aspect of His ministry, which is to intercede on our behalf. And that's talked about all through the Scriptures, but go to Acts chapter 7 if you would. Now in this passage, this is where Stephen was being stoned, if you'll remember, being martyred. And just before he died, God gave him just a glimpse of heaven. And notice here in Acts 7:56, the Bible says, "And he said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." I know I've shared this before, but most times in the Bible, when you read about Jesus on the right hand of the Father, the Bible says He's seated. But here He's standing. So I think Jesus stands to welcome us home. But the point is, He's there on our behalf. Romans 8:34, if you would, talks about that ministry, to where Jesus Christ is not only glorified by the fact that He was raised, but by the fact that He's at the right hand of the Father. So notice Romans 8:34, if you would turn over there. The Bible says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." When you read the book of Job, chapter 1, you see the devil coming before God and trying to make accusations against Job. He can't do that. Because Jesus, when the devil tries to accuse us, Jesus just shows the Father the prints and the nails in His hands and says, "I died for that one. I shed My blood for that one. And no accusations. We're righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ." So He's not only raised, but He's at the right hand of the Father. Thirdly tonight, we see in verse 21, the Bible says that He is far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So Jesus Christ is not only raised and at the right hand of the Father, but the Bible says He is far above all. And then God goes on to list that He's all above everything. Well, that must mean that Jesus has to be God, because only God could be far above all. And of course, we know Jesus is God, but He is above all. That's our Savior. Notice, if you would, Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible gives us a glimpse of the world acknowledging this great fact in heaven. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. Talking about Jesus being far above all, notice Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Even the unsaved are going to bow. Now we're, praise God, we're going to gladly bow. They're going to bow because they're going to be in the presence of infinite power and light and majesty and holiness. But the point is, Jesus is far above all. We find in Revelation chapter 17, He's referred to as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. And so He has been raised, He's at the right hand of the Father, and He is far above all. And then we see in verse 22, the Bible says, "And He hath put all things under His feet." So everything is in subjection to Jesus Christ. Everything has been put under His feet, which must mean that He's the ruler of the universe, that He is truly the Lord of Lords. There is no one greater. Everything is under Him. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, which expounds upon this a little bit. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. And so we see Christ is raised. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's far above all. And everything is under His feet. Everything is in subjection to Him. Notice Hebrews 2:8, which tells us, Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him, but now we see not yet all things put under Him. Hebrews talking there about, at that point, it all wasn't complete. But Jesus Christ, everything is in subjection to Him because He is the Lord. And that is expounded upon again back in our passage, verse 22, which says, not only are all things under His feet, but the Bible says He is the head over what? All things. I don't know how a person could read a passage like this one and not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. I don't know how they could do it. How can Jesus be far above all? How can everything be under His feet? And how can He be head over all things and not be God? That's impossible. So He is the head over all things. Now we know He's the head of the church. We're told that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. But the Bible says, if you go to Colossians chapter 2, that everything He is the head of. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, if you would turn over there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible tells us, And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. That's Jesus. He is the head of all principality and power. So we see tonight that Jesus was raised. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's far above all. Everything is under His feet. He is the head of all things. You know, passages like this aren't so much practical living, but it's sure good for us to be reminded about the Savior that we serve and how wonderful He is and how blessed we are that He's our Savior, and to be reminded about His person and how important it is that we lift Him up and glorify Him and praise Him and adore Him. You know, God takes a break here in the past, verse 23, and says, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Here He's referring to the church, the body of Jesus Christ. And the body is us. But it's not just us, it's every believer. Since Calvary to now makes up this body, which is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And as we know, the kids just learned 1 Corinthians 12:13 in Bible clubs, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into, young people, nobody was paying attention? One body, right? One body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, we are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. So Jesus Christ, we become part of Him, and He, as it says in verse 23, is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So think about what God is saying about Jesus in this passage. Not only is He raised at the right hand of the Father, He's above all. Everything is under His feet. He is the head of all. But beyond that, God says He filleth all in all. Now, how do we explain that to children? That Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but He also fills the entire universe? God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen? Some things we just can't necessarily get our head all the way around, but that doesn't make them not true. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. And yes, He's physically at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, but at the same time, He is Jehovah, and He is everywhere, because as we see here, filleth all in all. That's Jesus. What did He say? Where two or three are gathered together in My name, what? There am I in the midst of them. We believe that Jesus is everywhere. Notice Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. Where the Bible tells us, "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things." And then one of my favorites, go to Colossians chapter 1. Science is just now figuring out, over the past decade or so, maybe a little more, that there's actually elements of an atom that are smaller than what they thought. You know, they knew about, we were taught in school, right, about electrons and neutrons and protons and all these little things, but now they're finding out, yeah, but what makes all of that work the way that it does? They know that the electrons rotate around the neutrons and the protons, and there's a nucleus and all this stuff. But what holds it all together? What's the glue? And they're figuring out there's something even smaller than all of these things that we knew about that's holding it all together. What is it? It's Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. "He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." There it is. He made the universe. He holds it together. He's the glue that makes this universe work. Because Christ filleth all in all. And so what a great passage of lifting up our wonderful Savior. He was raised. He's at the right hand of the Father. He is above all. Everything's under His feet. He is the head above all. But to finish it off, the Bible says He filleth all in all. That's Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? And we just need to spend more time praising Him that saved us. You know, when you think about who Jesus is, and all of that power, and all that majesty, and yet, He was willing to come to earth and live in a human body, 33 years, and allow people to beat Him and mock Him and stab Him and put a crown of thorns on His head and hang Him on a cross for us. All that power, all that majesty, all that glory, and He was willing to do all of that for us. That's amazing. There is no more beautiful story than that, than the story of the gospel. That God Himself was willing to become a man and die as our substitute, shed His blood for us. How could there be a better story than our own Creator giving His life for His creation? That is Jesus. He is far above